Welcome to the Midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and tomorrow, March 21st, at 8 o'clock, Sharon Isbin will be performing with mezzo-soprano Isabel Leonard, and they're going to be performing at the Wisconsin Union Theater, a program of Spanish music, including some of the great Spanish composers. And welcome to the Midday.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to talk with you, Norman.
After hearing and playing your CDs, many, many CDs for a long time, now, pleasure to have your acquaintance. And there's so much variety in your performing, anything from Bach to, say, Joan Baez, that it's a little hard to characterize you as a guitarist. Do you, if you had to characterize yourself in a phrase or a sentence, is there any way you'd do it?
Well, I play music that I love, and that can include everything from jazz-inflected to Baroque to contemporary. And actually, in the program that I'm doing on Saturday night, we have a particular focus. I'm going to be joined by the wonderful Met opera star Isabel Leonard in an all-Spanish program. Her background is from Argentina, so Spanish is one of her native languages, and we're going to be doing some beautiful music by Federico García Lorca, who, of course, most people know as a great Spanish poet, but he also composed. And these are some folk songs that are traditional in the Spanish literature, and I've set them for guitar and voice. We're also doing music by Joaquin Rodrigo and Monsalvache, and, of course, the Defaya, seven popular Spanish songs. So it's going to be a really fun program. I'm doing a number of different solos by Granados and Albéniz and Tárrega. So I look forward to bringing all of this to Madison.
Well, the guitar is one of those instruments that we associate, of course, with Latin American music and Spanish music. But how did you come to it? I mean, there are so many different kinds of guitar music that a young person could be exposed to. What are your earliest memories of the guitar?
Well, our family moved to Italy when I was 9 years old, and it was really by chance that I began. An older brother had asked for lessons, and when he interviewed with a teacher who had studied with Segovia and was touring all over Italy and discovered that it was classical, not Elvis Presley, he bowed out. And I volunteered to take his place. So that's really how I began, by default.
And you just took off, I assume. You had a flair for it. You had talent for it. You had a compulsion to play the guitar.
None of that, no. I just enjoyed it. I probably did about 20 minutes a day. And later, a year later, we came back to the United States. I got very involved in science and model rockets. My father used to say, you can launch your rockets if you put an hour in on the guitar. So that's how they bribed me.
Oh, really? Wow,
yes.
That's got to be unique.
And eventually I won a competition when I was 14. The award was to perform with the Minnesota Orchestra. So that was so thrilling in front of 10,000 people. I decided to no longer send up my worms and grasshoppers into space, but instead shift gears and really focus on becoming a guitarist.
Well, that's interesting that it was a rush for you to perform for all those thousands of people. Some performers, even world-class performers, would have nerves before every performance, but not so for Sharon Isbin.
Well, it was just a very new and wonderful experience, and I am glad that I'm not toiling away at the Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena, that I'm touring the world instead and meeting incredible people and having the opportunity to perform with great artists like Isabel, for example, who I know you will all enjoy so much on the stage this Saturday night at the Union Theater.
You have a CD, one of your many CDs, called Journey to the Amazon. There's a piece on there called Poro, and what attracted you to that?
It's from Colombia, and it's a typical dance from that country. And in fact, this CD, Journey to the Amazon, is part of a new 5-CD box set that was just released on Warner Classics. And that box set, believe it or not, all 5 sell for the price of 1. It's pretty wild.
Really?
Yeah. And so you get with that an entire album of Baroque music with Bach and Vivaldi and Aldinoni. And this particular album, Journey to the Amazon, another solo album called Dreams of a World with 8 different countries represented in folk-inspired music, and an album with the New York Philharmonic, and even a contemporary one with Tan Dunn and Chris Rouse concerti that were written for me. So Journey to the Amazon, I'm joined by a very unusual musician. He was from the Maui tribe in the Amazon and plays on instruments that he has crafted himself. He calls them organic percussion instruments. And his name is Tiago de Mello. And you'll hear that on this track of Aporo. And some of the instruments are so unusual that you probably have never thought of them in that way, whether they're dried out cocoon shells that can be taken as a rattle, or a turtle shell that was hollowed out and the family ate it for dinner in the Amazon. And by tapping it in different places, he achieves a different kind of actual melodic context and contour to his handheld organic percussion. And there's even another instrument that is made out of the toenails of a tapir. So it's pretty exotic. And all of that is on Journey to the Amazon.
Wow, that's quite the collection, all right. Guitar music in the classical sense pretty much seems to have begun in Spain and certainly has continued well into the 20th century, and I assume the 21st as well. But one of the most famous of all pieces is on your CD, Dreams of a World, that's Recuerdos de la Alhambra.
And that's a work that is very reminiscent of its location, which is in a beautiful palace in Granada in the hills of Andalusia, the land of the gypsies. And Francisco Tárrega, who wrote this, was actually inspired by the fountain and the rippling of the water. And that's visually what you see when you watch the hand in its action of creating this tremolo, which is a means of repeating the melody note to sustain it. And it's one of the pieces I'll be doing on the concert on Saturday night. And it was fascinating because I had the opportunity to, about a year ago, to play on the guitar that was owned by Tárrega and on which he used to play this piece. So that was really quite magical.
I would think so. But there is, in most instances, there's nothing particularly special about, say, a 150-year-old guitar versus one made for you next week.
Well, it's very different. The instruments were smaller in those days. They weren't built to project in the same way that some of the modern instruments are. But it has a certain sweetness, and, of course, the context of knowing that one of my favorite composers from the 19th century, Francisco Tárrega, actually cradled and caressed this very instrument.
And it's got to be special.
It's fascinating to be able to meld the time together and the cultures in that one moment.
There's a Cuban composer I always think of as being a piano composer, but you have a wonderful guitar piece here by Ernesto Lecuona.
Yes, this was actually arranged for me to do on the album, on the Dreams of a World album, arranged by Carlos Barbosa Lima, my good friend from Brazil, and wonderful setting that he had made for it.
Thank you. And is there a composer that you are just, you know, when you think about the guitar, it's your favorite composer? Is there such a thing, or are you just constantly on the go in terms of discovering new things and rediscovering old things?
Well, I certainly have devoted a lot of attention and time and focus and discovery to the music of Bach, and I worked for 10 years with the great Rosalind Turek.
Yeah, one of the great practitioners, harpsichordists.
That's right. And in fact, you can see some of this. There's a brand new documentary on my life and my work that has just been released this week, in fact. It's called Sharon Isbin Troubadour. And if you go to my website, SharonIsbin.com, you'll find a link to it and also to the link of the film. And you can learn a lot about this. And it's been airing all over the country on almost 200 public television stations that was being presented by American Public Television. So it's been seen by millions, and now I'm really excited that it's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray by the Video Artists International label. And so you can, if you missed it in Madison, you could catch it on the new release. And in this, I explore what it's like working with composers, whether it's a work session together with one of the many guests like Tan Dunn or John Coriano or Christopher Rouse or Joan Tower or the rock guitarist Steve Vai, the jazz player Stanley Jordan. It's like having the opportunity to watch that special alchemy that happens when a performer and a composer get together and start to create and bond and develop and nurture something very new that will be born.
Speaking of things new, I assume, Sharon, that there are techniques that are constantly being brought out for the guitar that would not have been thought of even 50 years ago.
Absolutely, and a lot of these evolve in the process of working with composers, especially those who don't play the instrument and aren't in any way limited by what they think might be possible. So it's again, fascinating to be part of that process. I'm right now working on a new concerto that I'll be premiering in April, written for me by Chris Brubeck, the wonderful jazz composer and performer. And this will definitely have influences of that genre that he comes from, as well as a Middle Eastern flavor. There's even a section that's a tribute to his late father, Dave Brubeck. I'll be premiering this with the Maryland Symphony.
Are there techniques that you find particularly challenging? I mean, given so many things that you've mastered, are there techniques that you really have to work extra hard at?
Everything's a challenge to do well. So I really think that it's you have to be very dedicated and very devoted to wanting to bring to the fore any kind of music that has heart and beauty to it.
Is there a question of balance when you're performing with an orchestra?
With an orchestra, I always use some kind of sound reinforcement.
And so even if you were playing, you know, something like Rodrigo or one of those concertos where the guitar is relatively separate from the orchestra, you would still reinforce the guitar?
Well, it's never relatively separate for long. So I think that it's important to really bring it in such a way that's very natural and nobody notices in the audience, but they are able to hear everything with good clarity and all the nuances.
And you have, I assume, one or more commissions on the table?
Well, the Chris Brubeck is one that I just mentioned that I'll be premiering in April, and then Isabel and I will do a new work by Richard Danielpour that has been written for us that Carnegie Hall and the Harris Theater Chicago have co-commissioned that we'll be doing in November.
So should I ask how many concerts a year are you playing these days?
It really varies. I just completed a 20-city tour with my Guitar Passions trio, which is composed of Romero Lubambo on Brazilian guitar, a wonderful jazz player, as well as Stanley Jordan, who invented the tapping technique on jazz guitar.
Do you stay strictly with, I'll call it the classical guitar? I mean, have you ever dabbled with a 12-string or any of the other commonly used guitars in other sorts of music?
I stay with a nylon string, and a lot of my colleagues will use steel string if it's a mixed genre type of project, such as Guitar Passions, which is also titled after the CD of that name, in which Stanley and Romero and Steve Morris and Steve Vai actually also joined me on that. So I think that when you are really open to beautiful music and not restricted and in a box about where that might come from, that you really have a lot of freedom.
In a couple of minutes, we're going to be hearing the second movement of one of the most famous guitar concertos, the Concierto de Aranjuez of Rodrigo, 20th century Spanish composer. What appeals to you about that slow movement in particular?
It's a work that Rodrigo was very emotional about as he was writing it. He and his wife had been expecting what would have been their first child, and she miscarried, and nobody knew if she would live or die. She became so ill. So he would come back every night from visiting her in the hospital, and he couldn't sleep, but to console himself, he would play that beautiful adagio theme that you'll hear. And eventually she did recover, and they went on to have many decades together. But it's a work that is imbued with a sense of Spanish passion and yearning and longing and sadness and joy, all of those kinds of emotions mixed together. So I'm particularly thrilled that in the concert on Saturday night, I'm performing with Isabel one of the arrangements that Rodrigo did of this for voice and guitar. And in fact, his daughter asked me to make the first recording of that a number of years ago, which I did. So what you'll hear in the orchestra version is the original essence of that song version. And it's with the New York Philharmonic that I'm joined.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing that in a couple of minutes after we get to the quiz question. And in the meantime, thanks very much, Sharon Isman, for joining me for the midday today.
My pleasure, and look forward to seeing you in Madison on Saturday night.